Proverbs 15:23 says, people enjoy giving good advice, saying the right word at the right time is so pleasing. And that just jumped out at me. And I thought about words. And over this last couple of weeks especially, some of the words that have been spoken to myself and to my family have been, they've been transformative. And I really began to think about and study about words and how important our words are. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you some of the things I have found. There's an incredible power to the words that we speak, both for good and for not so good. And Scripture is really full, and I guarantee as we do this, and you then go to your Bible reading, you'll begin to see talking about our words all the time, especially when you're in something like Proverbs. But just about everywhere, the power of words and how important words are to God is there. The first thing I want to let you know is that our words define us and others. Our words define us and others. Creation, everything we see out there and are a part of here, all of it took place because God spoke a word. He said, let there be, and it was. Creation, God's words defined creation. All that we know and see and experience was defined by Him when He spoke it. The first chapter of the book of John tells us, and one of the most well-known, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that word is logos. And the Greeks at that time, literally their belief was logos, that word, meant the creative force behind the universe, that which had formed the universe. And the Jews said it was God's creative force. And so literally what he was saying was the creative force behind the universe became a human being and was God Himself. The one who created everything became one of us when He's talking about Jesus. And we call Jesus many times what? The Word of God. And so that words are incredibly important. And they have the creative ability to define who we are and who we believe others are. Jesus, when speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew 15 about what defiles a person, remember he was eating and his disciples hadn't washed their hands according to the traditions. And the Pharisee says, how come your disciples don't wash your hands? And Jesus said, you know what? It's not what goes into a person that defiles them. Here's what he said. And I will preface this. Part of this has come out of a real conviction that I have been facing about some of the words I've been saying. And I know I need to change. And so I am saying this from a person that's realizing, you know what, some of the things, and you'll understand that as I go. But here's what he says. But what people say with their mouths comes from the way they think. These are the things that make people unclean. What people say with their mouths comes from the way they think. What is going on in our heads and our heart determine what comes out of our mouths. And another time, when speaking about types of trees and the fruit they produce, Jesus says this in Luke 6, 43 through 45. A good tree does not produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from thorn bushes, and they don't get grapes from bushes. Good people bring good things out of the good they stored in their hearts, but evil people bring evil things out of the evil they stored in their hearts. People speak the things that are in their hearts. Our words are a direct line to our hearts. What we say is indicative of what's going on in here. And knowing this, that what we are saying is coming from our hearts, and as we say it, remember, words have the ability to create and define. So that which we are speaking is creating and defining. Knowing that, let me ask you this. What are you saying about yourself and others? What kind of words are you using to describe you and others? If I were to tape record your words and then trace that back to your heart, when it comes to describing yourself and others, what would we hear? And personally, much of the time, I would not want to hear what I say about myself. I'll give you an example. We were going to have a graduation party, a couple of them for my eldest daughter. So one of the things I thought I would do is wash the windows. And now they have those really cool ones you attach to the hose and you can just spray them and you turn it and whoosh, it washes and then whoosh, it rinses. So before I did this, my gutter also needed fixing. And so I fixed my gutter, got up there and put the stuff that sealed the gutter, but it needed 2 to 4 hours to dry. So then I started washing my downstairs windows, and then I realized, well, I got to wash my upstairs window, and here's the window, and then there's the roof, and then there's the gutter. So guess what that means? So I got some stuff and stuffed the gutter, thinking that'll stop any water that comes down. Guess what? It didn't. So I got the front, and then I went around to the back, and I washed all the windows down below. It was a long process. And then I realized, oh my gosh, yeah, okay, there's my daughter's window up on top. So I climbed up on the ladder and I'm spraying. And right as I started, I realized, you know, now that I'm spraying my upstairs window, guess what's happening to all the water? Yeah, see, you guys get it? So guess what I'm saying to myself? You idiot! You are so stupid! Why can't you think? And as I'm saying that, guess what I'm creating? And who I'm defining? And I realize I do that way too much. I do that way, way too much. Is that who I really want to be? No, it's not. And I can say that most of the time, I may be a bit better when I'm talking about others, but not always. Not always. And a lot of what comes out of my mouth, you would not like to be around when it happens. And sadly, this is most evident with my children. 3 daughters. By the end of this summer, we'll be 18, 16, and 14. And I love them so deeply. As anybody that's a parent knows, that feeling, there's a part of you that you didn't even know it existed until you had kids. This deep, deep love. An incredible depth of love and care, and also an incredible sense of it's the perfect dictionary definition of kids. And the conversations that go on sometimes when I listen to them really cause me to wonder, where did these children come from? Like we're sitting there, and my wife will say to one of them, would you please pick up that brush and put it away? It's insane. Well, it's not my brush. Why should I have to put it away? Well, because I asked you, but someone else put it there. It wasn't me. Well, and then the other one will chime in, well, yeah, but you put mine there last week, and you didn't put it away. And you go, well, yeah, but 6 months ago I put yours away, and that was why it was. Well, but I didn't mean to. Well, yeah, but your room is cruddy and lousy, and you come in and knock it all the time, and it degenerates. And you go, where did this come from? I just asked you to pick up a brush. And the words that are coming out are unbelievable. And I realized my mom was so wise. And she would tell my siblings and I know you can repeat it with me, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And do you know the Bible says that, actually, in a kind of a little, it's kind of a shoehorn way, but Proverbs 17:28 says this, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. That's so true. Now, again, and then during these little events that take place during the day, I watch myself and Julianne, and we try and remain calm and bring some sense of reason for the first 5 minutes. Okay, that's being a little generous. And then I hear things coming out of my mouth I really don't want to be hearing. You are so stubborn. You're so immature and childish. And I literally, what is going on? And then I realize, you know what? As I'm saying that, I'm creating and I'm defining them. And have you found that you can say 100 wonderful things to people and then you say one negative? What do they remember? Yeah, Dad, 10 months ago you told me I was stupid. And I just go, oh. You know, we do. The words we say, they create, they define. And what we need to be doing, let me say this, in Proverbs 18:21, it describes this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And you'll eat the fruit, whichever it is, life or death, depending on how you use the tongue, depending on what you say. And as they are creating these things, we need to be thinking and saying and creating and defining about ourselves and others what God says about us. What we need to do is be thinking and saying things like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All the old's gone. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. Ephesians 2:10. For we, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're God's workmanship. When I see you, I see what God has made. John 1:12, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God. You start hearing that, you start believing that, you start speaking that with your words, and you create and define that, and you'll see a difference. And that's what I love when we're doing it right. And I see things like letters that my wife has written to my children up on their walls about the wonderful children that they are, and they have them posted on their walls that they can read about what their mom thinks, how incredible they are. But when I talk to my girls, I hear, you know what? I know sometimes we can butt heads and we don't, but everything my mother says is one of the most important things to me. Her opinion is one of the most important opinion to me. I have to have her opinion. When I see things like our eldest daughter, Danielle, choosing to go to a Christian college because she wants her life to be one where ministry is primary. And she made that choice. She heard from God. And she is following the dream He has given her because she is a new creation. When I tell Kelly, our middle daughter, that she thinks like her grandfather, Pastor Carl. And if you knew him, when it came to problem solving, man was brilliant. We'd come up with ideas that Kelly's got that. In fact, both her and my wife, really sweetly, during the whole incident with washing it, when I came in, they both kind of said, yeah, Dad, we were kind of wondering why you didn't wash the upstairs windows first. I said, thank you. Love you. But Kelly does. She thinks that way. And Triana, our youngest, She makes consistent choices to put other people first. She always puts others first. And because she wants to make them feel loved and important. And I watch her do it, and I love it. Her friends, she just continues to minister to them and love them in a beautiful way. That's who I want them to become. And those are the words that I need to be speaking to them. Because words define us. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Those words, let them be acceptable because they're His words. His words. So words define us and others. Secondly, words determine our direction and others' direction. Our words will determine the way we go in a particular situation. And when faced with choices as to which direction we will go, in any given situation, our words are so important in determining whether the direction will be a good or a bad one. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Have you noticed that generally the first response in a volatile situation determines what direction the whole situation will go? I have learned to work on projects and do projects, putting together beds, putting to different things that I've needed to learn to do. And generally, if I have instructions, I do pretty well. But sometimes I don't, and I'm trying to look at things and fix things. And I have found that my wife, who is also like her father, actually can really think outside of the box, come up with creative ways to do things. And I have not always appreciated that. Because I'll be working on something and she says, "Well, why don't you just do it this way?" And there have been times where my initial response was not a soft answer. But I've always tended to find that if I'll just swallow my pride and do it that way, guess what? It works. But I've always noticed it's that first response. It's the first thing you say. What word comes out of your mouth or the other person's mouth that will then determine. Because if not, what happens? You know what? If someone says something and you bite back, guess what? Bigger bite, bigger bite, bigger bite. It happens. It's that first word. That's why the whole counting to five thing, sometimes if you can do it, it'll save a lot. And remember, be an intelligent fool and just keep your mouth shut. Yeah. God says that for a reason. Proverbs 13:3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." That's true. It's so, and it's sometimes so difficult to do. Do you at times find your mouth is moving before your mind has kicked in?
That's
right. All of a sudden, it's like, seriously, you watch these words come out, and you go, "I know they're wrong. They shouldn't be." And yet they just flow out, and you're like, "Oh, no!" And yet they've made it to the ears. And there's a reaction. You're going, "Oh, it was so, why did I say that?" Because we sometimes start talking before we start thinking. And the psalmist understood that. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And literally, there's just that. Sometimes you just pray, "God, put that guard there. So I don't say the things that are going to bring death, that are going to be hurtful, but I want them to bring life." What we say can so powerfully influence the way we view what is going on in our lives. Think of famous speeches that have gone on throughout history and the power that they have had to shape the direction of countries and peoples. Think of the Gettysburg Address, what that meant to this nation. Think of Patrick Henry's, give me liberty or give me death. Think of a more recent Ronald Reagan's speech to Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down this wall. The power that words have, that's why I think the pen is mightier than the sword, is absolutely true. Because it's the words that motivate people to action. It's the words that influence what we're going to do. And they have incredible power to do so. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Yeah, they're beautiful. Words, you've experienced it when people have spoken the right word to you at the right time, and it's transformed you. That's what it's talking about here. And Ephesians 4:29 says, when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. In the last couple of weeks, I saw this come to pass powerfully. And the first time was with Danielle. And as we have mentioned, a year ago on her birthday, she had surgery to remove a tumor on her pituitary gland that was causing problems. She felt the surgery was successful. But then as the year went on, we did not see the symptoms go away that should have been going away. So we got them checked, got tests run. And so a week ago, Tuesday and then a week before that, we had an appointment at Harborview with the team there that handles these kinds of things. And we walked in and they pulled up the MRI, they pulled up her test, and basically said, what we can see is that the tumor is still there and it's still causing the problem. And what we're going to need to do is surgery. And Danielle and her sister Triana have been planning for the last 2 years to go to Norwegian camp, 2-week-long camp where they have a wonderful time together. And it'll be Danielle's last time this year before she goes to college, and probably ever. And the surgeon looked at his schedule and looked at our schedule and the other things that are going on and said, on that Tuesday, you're going to be back here on Friday for a brain surgery. And so all of a sudden, all our plans were altered pretty radically to make it happen. And Danielle struggled. She cried to begin with and said, why is God doing this? The only thing I could kind of come up with at that point was, you know, honey, I believe there are other people that you are going to minister to in your life that you're going to have walked through this so you can minister to them. Because I don't understand a lot of it. And as the surgeon came in and began to describe the surgery that he was going to do, which is literally go through her nose and then get into her pituitary, the cavity there, where the arteries are, where the things that control your face, where your optic nerve is, and he began to describe all the possible things that may happen, you kind of go, oh. However, here's what was the amazing thing, his words. This guy came in and he said, you know what, I do 300 of these a year. I've done thousands of them and I've only had one person ever have one slightly challenging complication. And he went through, here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, it brought such a peace and a confidence to Danielle, to myself. And so the end result is, she went in on Friday morning and she went home Saturday afternoon. And they believe they got it all. We're really thankful, grateful. But she's been at home, and basically the only thing she really can't do now is lift something over 10 pounds for a while. It's just amazing. But the words he spoke brought such peace. And then right after we came home with her, bringing her home, our dog, Sadie, was sick. Something was wrong. Kelly knew something was wrong. She was just lethargic. She wasn't hungry. She wasn't eating. So we took her into the vet. And the vet felt her, and her stomach was just hard. And he said, something's going on. And again, here's what happened. The words he spoke and the things he said brought such confidence. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what he calls a sneak and peek. She's going to open it up, look inside, and see what's going on. And we will take the best possible care of her that we can. And I know him. I actually worked for him for a number of years. And it brought such confidence. And the end result of that is, Sadie had a splenectomy. She'd ruptured her spleen. She also had a rather large mass that was removed. But she's home, recovering, and eating well, too. But the thing that I recognized was it was the words that they spoke that changed from, oh, what's going to happen? Is everything going to be okay? To just, I have confidence. That's the power of words. And how we speak, the words we use and the way we use them, determines whether we and others leave our conversations with a sense of hope, confidence, and peace, or the opposite. Say to others and yourselves what will do good. So let me ask you this. What do you need to say to yourself today? About who you are, defining who you are, and about maybe a direction that you need to go in a situation in your life. What words do you need to begin speaking to yourself that are going to do good and in the lives of others? Maybe they need to hear something from you that's going to be good and encourage them into believing and understanding who they were created by God to be. And lastly, words determine our destiny and others' destiny. As we tie these together with the previous two, God has chosen to make our words be an incredibly important part of our destiny, both while we are alive and for all eternity. In Romans 10, 8 through 9, here's what it says. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God ties in our confession, what we say with our mouth, to our salvation. The words we use to describe what we believe about who Jesus Christ is will determine heaven or hell for us. Now, inherent in this is not only what we say, but the belief behind it, because remember, it's tied to our heart, and then a life lived that reflects that belief. Our life has to line up with what we profess. God's important. That's important to Him. It's not just a prayer that we say, although there is incredible power in spoken prayer. And there's an indication in this that we see that the words being declared by our mouths have an incredible amount of power and influence with God and with man. What we say has incredible influence with God. If you have spoken that Jesus is Lord, your life should reflect it. And we see how words are an important part of that in some other scriptures. James 1:26 says this, people who think they are religious but say things they should not say are just fooling themselves. Their religion is worth nothing. Ouch. Thank goodness for repentance. Now that's key. But again, it's important what we say. And this especially, not only in the body of Christ, with one another, the things we say to each other and the things we say about each other are so important and they have such power. That's why I think he says, you know what, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Say about other people but what you want them to say about you. Whether you are talking to them or whether you're talking to somebody else about them. Say what you want said about you. It has incredible power to shape what's going on in their life and in your life. And understanding this, to begin to understand why God hates gossip so much. Because it has the power to tear down and destroy. Our words have that power. And that's why using them the way God wants them to is so important. All right. And Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. And as we learned earlier, what we say is simply a reflection of what is truly going on in our hearts. God intends for our words to be words of life, words that help others to experience Him. Our words are meant to be a source of hope and nourishment to others. God set the example when He said this, Matthew 4:4. But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what?
Word
that comes from the mouth of God." God's words were meant to feed us, to give us life. And our words were meant to do the same thing, to feed ourselves and to feed others. And one of my absolutely favorite times is when I've had a chance to preach or share, and I talk to my wife later on in the day, and she shares with me what she got out of the message. She takes great notes, and then we sit down and talk. I always feel so encouraged and built up when she does that. It makes such a huge difference. Don't you love to be encouraged?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. We love it. And I love doing it. Don't you love when your words, you see your words do something in a person's life?
Yes.
And you see there's hope or there's life or there's appreciation that makes a difference. God wants to do that in each of our lives every day too. And if we take time to let Him, He will. He will tell us how much He loves us. He will tell us of His plan. He will give us life. He will feed us with His Word, but we have to take time to receive it and let it get through. And this can happen both spoken and written. A lot of times some people are much better at writing encouragement. Boy, if you are, use that gift. Use that gift. It's amazing the difference it makes. God also wants us to use our words, we referenced it earlier, to communicate with Him. And when we use our words to communicate with Him, we call that prayer. And when He uses His words to communicate with us, it's very important. It's an incredibly important part of our relationship with Him. And one of the most important aspects of it we find in Matthew 7. Matthew 7:7-11. It says, "Ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will open for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find, and everyone who knocks will have the door open. If your children ask for bread, which of you would give them a stone? Or if your children ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask." We've got to be willing to ask. And I know that sometimes these in different areas have been taken and used inappropriately. But I also think we're a people that sometimes don't, "Oh, I shouldn't ask God. I shouldn't ask. I don't want to bother God. Oh, I just feel like I'm so demanding if I'm asking God." How do you get that? He says, ask. He says, "Ask me. I want to give you good things. But I want to have a relationship with you, so ask. And then let me speak to you. Take the time to let me talk to you." Whether it's through reading the Word and it's speaking. Whether it's through looking at creation and letting Him speak to you. Whether it's through another person encouraging you. God wants to speak to us. And He wants us to ask Him for the good things that He has planned for each one of us. And in my mind, I think, how foolish. If God has got this storehouse of good things, whatever they may be, and all He's saying is, "I just want you to ask because I want to have communion with you." How foolish of us to not. How foolish of us not to every day simply say, "God, please give me today the good things you have planned for me today, because I want to use them to glorify you and to live the life you created me to live." God wants us to ask. Our destiny is determined by our words, and so is the destiny of those around us. Are we sharing the truth we know with others? And part of that is found in the words we use. Remember, Jesus' last words to His disciples were to go and preach the gospel. That requires using words, sharing words, telling others about Jesus, about who He is to you, what He has meant to you. We have to use our words to be able to have people understand. I know it took people using their words with me for me to come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is in my life. What words do you want to share today that will shape your destiny? Possibly you may be here and you've never said those words, Jesus is Lord. If you haven't, I know I'd love to help you do that. My greatest joy is to introduce people to their Savior. It's where it begins, and it gets started there and continues forever. If you know Him, what words might you need to express to help you live the life He created for you? What words has He spoken to you? Or what words might you simply need to say? Just take 30 seconds. Think of it. Just take a minute and think of what words do I need to say, either about myself, to myself, about what God has spoken to me today. Words define us. They determine our direction. They determine our destiny. And in every one of those situations, the people's lives with whom we interact, it determines theirs too. And we have the power through what we say to shape them, to direct them, and to help determine their destiny. God's entrusted that to us through the words we say. Use them wisely. Use them well. And use them to bring life to yourself and others. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You've given us the ability to use our words. I thank You that You spoke this world into existence through Your words. And I know that You spoke us into existence. And You're continuing to create us in the image of Jesus Christ as You speak into our lives. And I pray You'd continue to do so. Lord, help us to use our words in a way that honor You. Help us to say the things that You're saying about us. And help us to say about others what You are saying about them too. That our words would, as You say, always be seasoned with salt. And that they would build up, edify, and help others to grow. Thank You for this incredible group of people. And I pray You continue to bless them as they use their words to glorify You, to edify, and to build up one another. We thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much. Back to you.